Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Think Outside the Blue Box. I'm Anthony Rivera. I'm the lead videographer and editor here at Blue Box Digital. And today I'm being joined by the great connector, also known as Neeraj Pardesi. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Mr. Anthony.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. It's been a long time coming, man.
I know. You know, as soon as I saw some of your earlier work, the way that you just set up a space to be able to host a podcast or really a conversation, that's something cool. And I wanted to be a part of that. I'm glad you have me here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. And how did you hear about Blue Box? I know it was another guest that I had on that you've kind of been in contact with.
Yes, that's right. So one of my good friends, Tate Cohen, that's his rap name. He's been on quite recently, actually. You remember him? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good buddy of mine. Yeah, we've done a few music videos together. Him and I... we kind of bonded over his music. So how do you know him? Just through social media?
That's right, through Instagram. So, you know, one thing led to another, and here we are. I wouldn't have expected this, huh? But I suppose that's how life works.
It's just one thing leads to another. You know. Exactly. Yeah, and we're all connected. So, and you should know that, the great connector.
Yep, it's in the name. Yeah, great connector.
Yeah, it's in the name. Well, fantastic, man. Thanks for joining the show. And tell me a little bit about what exactly you do, man. You're a coach, a life coach?
Yeah, life coach is a good word. Sometimes I struggle to find out the exact terminology, you know, and the exact way I want to really say what I want to say. But I would say holistic life coach. That means when I say holistic, a lot of people have a weird taste in their mouth when they hear that word. I know I do, at least.
It has a stigma,
exactly, like really a touchy-feely, woo-woo type of thing. But no, I'm actually a very practical fellow. If you look at my social media everywhere, it says I blend science plus spirituality. So the reason for that and why I call myself the Great Connector is because I join together concepts and ideas and rules. I create blueprints. I connect dots between things that people think have nothing to do with each other at all. And I'm talking about the entirety of life. That's why a lot of people think science and spirituality are at conflict, but to me, they're not. If you know how to look at them the right way, they're saying the same thing.
Yeah, there's a big harmony, and you just have to kind of open your eyes to it a little bit, and it's there, you know?
Yep, that's it. And if you know how to look at things the right way, anything at all, you'll see that there's a harmony there. There's a convergence of their properties and their nature. And I call myself the Great Connector because I connect these dots, and then I'm able to give them as blueprints, as formulas, as actual actionable understandings, things that people can actually use, practical wisdom. And that's why I'm a holistic life coach, because when you really get into it, and not even if you just take a glance, you realize that everything in your life has to do with everything else in your life. Is no just, I'm only going to work on my work and my career. I'm only going to try to work on my relationships. I'm only going to try to get more money. I'm only going to be more fulfilled in life. It doesn't work that way. If you want to make a change in one aspect of your life, you're going to have to go through everything. You're going to have to be able to touch every aspect of your life, not just whatever you think you're setting out to do. And that's why holistic is an important word. I transform people's entire lives because you can't have it any other way. And that's why it is often hard, you know, to niche down and to find exactly specific words for how I work, because I include everything. And there's no real way to do that. It took a while for me to get successful in business just for that one aspect, is that I couldn't, you know, niche down. If you know marketing, if you know branding, it's always really targeted, really specific, serve a particular audience, and then branch out and go more wide general once you have the experience. However, that's not actually how it works for me. I decided to go broad in the first place. And the people who are supposed to resonate with me are going to resonate with me. If they don't, then they don't. And that's just how I've been moving. I do personal holistic development of the person. So when people come to me, they're not just transforming their finances. They're not just transforming their ability to connect with themselves and with other people. Or really anything. You know, health, wealth, relationships. Those are the big three. You can't do one without the other. So everybody's life gets transformed. And the real cool part about it is, you don't really know. You don't really know what's going to come out the other side until you do it. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about, bro.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, just having conversations here on the podcast, you get to know people on like a different level. You know, it's stuff that kind of triggers my thought process and gets my you know, my thoughts going in a way that, you know, it hadn't gone before. You know, it's like they open up like a new perspective.
And that's really all that I want to do. I don't think anybody's particularly, you know, broken or needs to be saved. I don't think that I'm on a pedestal because I'm a coach. I said earlier that I transform people's lives, and I do because I give them the rules, I give them the regulations, the understandings, the procedures, and I hold the space for them to. But it's always the person coming into themselves. It's not like you're learning anything new, not with me at least. You're actually just coming into more awareness of what you already are. And that's why it's important for everybody to know this. You think you have to be a certain degree of smart. You think you got to have a certain amount of money. You think you have to be a certain type of person. Maybe you're, you know, classic example. Maybe you're trying to lead a group of people, but you're an introvert. You think that you have to be extroverted to do so. No, you don't. In that same way, you don't have to actually be a certain way in order to transform your life. You can start exactly where you are right now and then figure out where you stand and then move from there. And as you go, you'll understand that you had everything that you could ever want already inside of you. As cliche as that sounds, it's true. It's cliche because it's true.
Yeah, all cliches have an origin in the truth.
Yep. This is where I make my racist jokes about Indians running 7-Elevens and gas stations. I'm Indian, so nobody get offended at that. I can do that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so I want to encourage people to understand that who you are is absolutely everything you need. And everybody's a part of this unique puzzle piece. Everybody is a unique puzzle piece of this big tapestry we call life. Everybody's their own unique piece. And if you don't have everybody, then you are quite literally missing the point. Life is not possible without every single type of person, every single type of personality behavior, even the negative ones. Even the horrible shit in life is required for you to be able to have completeness. There is no good without bad, right?
I agree. So, yeah, you can't appreciate the happy times without the sad times.
Yep.
There's no reference. There's no point of reference.
Exactly. And for that reason, I don't think that this is what I usually tell my clients that are really, really busy or they can't change their routine. Like, shit, I don't have time to go and, you know, add this onto my life. I don't have time to, let's say if they want to get calm, my first thing is, okay, we need to either get you working out your physical body if you're not already to remove some of that excess energy and then being able to have your muscular system relaxed. Or you need to start meditating so that you can be at an inner state of peace and control of your life. Be at the helm rather than the effect. Be the cause, not the effect. Right? And they're like, I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to go meditate for 20 minutes in the morning. I don't have time to go work out for 30 minutes
to
an hour.
That's the number one. Yeah, that's the number one excuse that I hear is I don't have time.
Yep. And not only is it not true, not only is that excuse not true, you do have time, you know, but some people really do believe that they don't have time. Like really, it's like very high level business execs or maybe a mom of three kids. And, you know, it goes from everywhere. Everybody feels like they're packed, right? And for that reason, I don't like to have people change their routines. This is a really good point that I want to illustrate. It's that you don't have to actually change your routine immediately. Of course, some change is going to happen organically as you keep learning and growing, right? But you don't actually have to change who you are or change how you do things. That's why I think the best form of coaching is simply helping a person change their orientation, their personal viewpoint on life. And that's what I aim to do.
Get to the root of the problem, yeah.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, bandage it. You know, it's really funny that you say that. That's literally all the things that matter. The only thing that matters is pulling out the root. Because if you pull out the root, all the problems go away. Let's say everything every single branch. Place,
yeah.
Yep, everything will. Like every single branch is a different type of problem. You've pulled out the roots, now all the branches are gone. So, what made you want to have me on the show? I mean, I know I do a lot of things, but I'm curious what made you come this way.
Honestly, man, I looked at your social media and like every clip that I saw on there, I kind of resonated with because I'm still going through my personal journey, and I've had to learn all these things, you know, on my own, like just doing research and just looking into life and just what it means for me. And, you know, I've gone through quite a bit of a transformation myself. So I kind of resonated with a lot of the stuff that you were saying because I did have to look inside. I did have to kind of go to the root of why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. And, you know, it's just, I wanted to bring you on, man, because I believe that the stuff that you espouse and the stuff that you stand up for is very important, because a lot of people don't really realize that, you know, you can really do anything that you set your mind to. Yeah. As cliche as that sounds, you know, it's like, and sometimes you just need that coach. You just need that person to kind of open your eyes a little bit, give you a little bit different perspective, because I know some people, especially the people that I bring on this podcast, they're still on their journey too. So they've kind of learned different things along their journey that can help me on my journey. And, you know, I just wanted to bring everybody together and just build a community of artists and just people who do what they love to do and are fulfilled in a way that you can't really be any other way.
Wow. That was deep.
Yeah, man. And that's why I wanted you here, because I know you're a deep guy. let's chat where... Said. Yeah, go ahead. I won't interrupt you.
I only do this because I can't turn it off. Yeah, when you said there's no other way that you can be, you know, people do what they love and there's no other way, that's why I do this. There's no other way that I could be. There's nothing else. Like, I don't know how. And when I was trying to figure out my purpose or try to figure out how to do life, you know, what's the point? Why am I here? Why am I doing all this? Really, I asked myself the question, what's the one thing that I can never turn off about myself, even if I tried? And it wasn't just an activity, you know, I'm good at a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that that was like my purpose. I could learn things well. You know, doesn't mean that's my purpose. It's like, what is it?
You know, I find that interesting, because when you ask them, like, who are you? Like, what do you do? They immediately go to their job, right? Like their self-identity is wrapped around what they do for a living. And that's okay in a sense, because you kind of, you know, you're attached to this thing, but that's not who you are, right? Like that's not 100% of the person. That's just what you're doing right now.
Yeah, that's just what you're doing.
Yeah,
it's what I'm doing. It's not what I am.
Yeah, it's not who I am. It's not what I'm meant to do. Yeah.
And I honestly don't know how people answer that question for themselves, because I am not like a lot of other people. Ever since I was young, like I realized very early on that I think different. And it was only until maybe I got on to social media and I was really able to see other people in a similar type of thought process that made me feel like I wasn't really by myself, you know? I discovered YouTube.
I felt alone for so long, man. I felt alone for so long because I am a very critical thinker. I kind of overthink sometimes too, but...
Ain't it? Yeah. Comes with the territory.
I think that's a superpower, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I think that's a superpower because you're more attuned to what's going on around you, I think.
And, oh yeah.
When you start asking questions and you're not getting the answers that you expect, it kind of, you know, it's kind of like, why is that? You know, and it you just go down these rabbit holes.
So did you have a point in time where you realized it was more of a superpower, or was that part of your disposition? Like, did you always know that this is something useful? Because, you know, society tends to look down on overthinking because obviously it could be pretty detrimental. A lot of my clients struggle with overthinking and its symptoms, you know. But what about you?
Yeah.
How does that go?
Yeah, for me, it was the overthinking and to the point of paralysis. It was overthinking to the point of paralysis. And, you know, I think it was when I got my divorce is when I started to see the world a little bit differently because things weren't going the way that I wanted them to. And you know, it started me down this other path. And that's when I was like, you know, this overthinking is making me see things that other people are not seeing, right? So it's like, I was finding meaning in my life when other people were struggling to find that, you know, they were struggling to find who they are and why they're here. And, you know, sometimes people fall into just different things to try to find that meaning. But I saw that I was finding it on my own, man. And it was a journey that I liked, you know. It was an enlightening journey. And yeah, a lot of doors open for me. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know it's a loaded question and I can't just be like, so tell me your story, because, you know, where do you start?
Yeah,
I really don't like it when people ask me that. Well, I mean, I do like it, you know, because obviously, thank you for being intrigued, but it's always difficult. I mean, like, okay, well, let me just spend 1 to 2 years giving you the last 20 years of background experience you know and that you need to know for you to properly understand the context of what the fuck is happening right now. So, like, I don't really know where to start, but I am genuinely curious about when that moment happened for you, started to find meaning. Did you, looking back on it, right? Because you can only connect the dots going backwards. You can't really see it going forward. Looking back on it now, was there a moment of revelation for you where you just like, there's something going on here? It's like that window into the future, right? It's like that little epiphany moment. Usually it doesn't last. Sometimes it does if you're lucky. Sometimes it doesn't. It's like, what were some of those? I bet there was plenty of them, but what were some of the big ones that you can remember that like are a milestone marker for you in your own process?
I mean, there's huge, huge milestones. It was the day that I had my first kid, you know, the day that I got married. It's all these major, major things that kind of change your life, basically. You know, they it's like forks in the road that you're just kind of I don't even know how to explain it, man. It's just these big milestones that I had in my life. I think the main one was me getting divorced, man, is because I had gone through my entire life just kind of following this cookie cutter just recipe kind of thing where I was handed down by my parents. And it's kind of like, okay, you're supposed to go to school, get your college degree, get married, have kids, have all this stuff. And I was just going through it, checking the boxes, man.
Checking the boxes.
Yeah, just checking those boxes. And at the end, I was like, yeah, I'm at the finish line. Now what? So, you know, and it's like, am I really happy? Like, is this really where I'm supposed to be? And I started to look, at like my job as more of like an enslavement in a sense. I'm sorry, man. I'm just opening up here.
I am all in, man.
In. So I saw it as an enslavement. And you know what? I think now thinking back at it, it was this one moment where this person that I had worked with for the last decade, you know, it was like a whole 10 years that I was there. And this person was just getting ready to retire. And, you know, they kind of lined up all of his accomplishments and, you know, that made me do a little bit of self-reflection. And it's like, this is the path that I'm going down, you know, mm-hmm. like in another 30 or 40 years, that's what I'm working for. And I honestly just didn't see myself in that man's shoes. I was like, this is not, you know, this is not okay. And it wasn't only that, it was actually, after he retired, you know, he came back a few months later and you can tell like his mind was deteriorating. He was, he had like, stayed at home and literally done nothing for 6 months.
He pressed the stop button.
Yeah. He literally pressed the stop button. And I was like, that was scary for me, dude. Like it's like, I don't see myself doing that. And it was almost like a roller coaster, and you're kind of heading at full speed towards this one destination, and it's like, you, that's not where you want to be. So how do you get off the roller coaster? You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
And then legitimately great example too, because you're scared shitless about getting off. You know, this roller coaster is literally what your life is based on, right? Everything is held up by this roller coaster, this idea of checking the boxes, the path you're going down. And then you come to this realization that I don't want to be here anymore. And you're like, can I even get off without killing myself and bringing down everything that I've built?
Literally for 30 years of my life, I've been on this same roller coaster working towards that one goal. And in that one moment, I was like, that's not my goal. That's not where I want to be. Like, why am I here? Why am I on this roller coaster at all?
Yeah. Okay. That, so how'd you get off?
I started my journey of self-discovery. And, you know, I think I talked about it in the previous episode of the podcast. It's kind of like, I kind of stood back and I was like, okay, what am I really passionate about? What from my childhood, what is it something that I've just done because I love doing, not because I want to make money or I want to be financially secure, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, it was video. It was making movies. It was making film. It was, you know, this whole process, just creating media, influencing other people into opening their minds to, you know, kind of my perspective on things, because I feel like I have a lot to say, you know, and you know, that's why you're here, right?
Yeah. Yes, you do. Man, after that story, my mind just got opened up. Like, there is now a whole new dimension that I view you from. Just that one piece, because, like, you know, it takes one to know one, right? And although I feel like you had a lot more of shifting around and changing and stuff to do than I did, because you were 30 something when that happened. I'm not even 30 yet. You know, there's so much going on. You know, wife, kids, career. Oh my God, what's going on? I really respect the amount of resilience that was necessary for you to even begin that, let alone stick it out. I'm glad it paid off.
Yeah. I mean, so far so good. I'm not going to say I'm anywhere, you know, yet, but at least I'm doing something that I love and I'm happy doing it, you know, and it's not, I don't feel like I have a job, you know, this is fun for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I love doing this. Yeah.
I get paid to have conversations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now I'm, you know, I'm making TV commercials. I'm making music videos. I'm working with the most amazing clients. You know, I just landed Pepsi the other day. You know, I'm making stuff for Pepsi. So it's like, yeah. I could see that I'm on the right roller coaster now.
I love that. Does it feel like when you want to, and this is a big deal for me, do you feel like you can control when the roller coaster should speed up and when it should slow down? Maybe not all the time, but enough.
Not all the time, yeah, but enough for me to say that I'm the driver, you know, like I am now in control of this roller coaster and I can shape the rest of the track how I want it to be shaped.
Yeah. Now, basically, you know, it feels like you and me are the same person. I found out I was on a roller coaster, and thankfully it didn't have so much momentum that I couldn't get off. And once I did, I realized the grass actually is much greener on this side. Although it doesn't seem like that, right? Because as soon as you step off that roller coaster, up is no longer up, left is no longer left, down is no longer down. You don't know what's going on because your literal metric for perceiving what's good and bad is now thrown away. Right? At least that's how it was for me.
I've heard a good saying about the grass is greener saying is that the grass is only greener where you water it.
Yeah.
There is no side. So yeah. If you jump out of a field and you start watering another field, there's going to be grass there too.
That's right. That is totally right. And that's a beautiful saying too. I've only heard that a couple times. Wow. The grass is greener where you water it. That's exactly how it is, you know? And if something isn't going right in your life, it's because it's not getting watered. Or that it's completely covered in weeds and, you know, you can go either way.
Over.
you got a lot of pulling up to do. And that's what makes it interesting. I realize that once you get off the roller coaster, you have a lot more choice. And you get to experience what it is that you are and what you want and what could be. What could you be? If you could think as big as you could with no limitations, what could you be? And that's simply the question that I'm asking myself to this day. It does not ever stop. Because the more I live, the more my boundaries get expanded. So I get to rethink myself and rethink everything. And then I realized that this is really the only thing worth living for. If you're a human, you know, you need to take care of your survival and your ability to be afloat in this world. Yes, you do. But once you have that, now what? Like, now what's after this? What does thriving look like? What does legacy look like? What the hell's the point? Why are you here, right? So that's the reason why I transitioned into coaching. I talk to other people like I talk to myself. And I feel like I'm just talking to different versions of myself. Because everybody's intrinsically the same. We're all humans and we all really want the same shit. We all really don't want the same shit. We all really just have different ways of looking at the same things. So if you know how to solve some fundamental problems for yourself, you can solve them for others. And that's the only reason I do my coaching. You know, it kind of comes naturally. I have a knack for listening to people. I got a knack for figuring out how people are. And I want to speak to them in a language that they understand. You know, like some people are more mental, some people more emotional, some people more practical. People have different orientations, man. And that's why I call myself the Great Connector. Because I want to be able to speak in every one of those languages. Knowledge should be accessible to all. If we're really saying the same thing, you can reach the top of that mountain, of that understanding, through any different way. It doesn't matter which road you take. If it works for you, you will get to the top. And I want to be able to service all the people on the road, no matter which road you're on. So I think that, you know, we have a good understanding here going on, because you seem to be speaking my language. You know,
For sure.
I feel a lot of resonance with your vibe, brother. There's a lot of cool things.
Likewise. Likewise. For sure, yeah. Man. What did you do before coaching? What did you, why did you decide to kind of, where was your roller coaster going originally?
Well, like I said, I'm glad my roller coaster didn't have so much momentum going on it. You know, I'm quite young. I always, like when I was a kid, I said I wanted to go to MIT and I wanted to be a developer or like some sort of figure in astrophysics. Because like I was really astounded, you know, like, oh my God, there's space and stuff. There's planets and things. What? It's like, this is so big. What the heck is out there? I want to go figure that out. You know, typical little kid stuff, right? And I was pretty smart and aware early on. Not to toot my own horn. It is what it is. And I feel like every kid is really way more smarter than we give them credit for. But, you know, the parents can only perceive of the kid to the degree that they can perceive of themselves. So it was always my dream. You know, I was always decently good in school. And then high school came around. That's when my grades started dropping, like maybe like 10th grade, sophomore year, right? And I started work. Here's a good transition. I was obese for most of my early life. So that means basically I was like 245 pounds in eighth grade as a 12-year-old or 13-year-old. Like, that shit was crazy. I don't know.
Picked on a lot?
Oh, all the time. Oh, yeah. And the reason I became like very people pleasing. I became very unsure of myself. I was very smart, right? So I kind of retreated into my head. I was just really mental with my life. I couldn't really feel myself. I couldn't feel my body. Couldn't really feel my feelings. And like, you know, I'm aware of myself. I'm self-aware. So I was like, something isn't adding up here. But on the bright side, you know, I feel like everything in life, I know that everything in life happens for a reason, exactly how it should. Everything, like without a mistake, every single thing in life happens exactly as it should, right on beat.
You are where you are supposed to be. Yes, sir.
All the time, with no exceptions. You know, I like to say that, you know, if you do believe in a higher power and you know that, it's not like God has days off. Like, God is not almighty and all perfect part time. Either God is perfect and thereby everything is perfect, or God doesn't exist at all. There is no everything happens for a reason sometimes. It's either it does or it doesn't. It's either all the time or no time. And that's how I live my life. If everything happens for a reason, then that means I'm good no matter what happens. No matter what it looks like, I'm good. It's going to be okay. It's going to be great. And I didn't really know that yet. So this is pre, like, what I would call my spiritual awakening, which is, like, again, words with stigma. It's really just me awakening to the larger bigger part of myself. It's actually very human. It's not all woo-woo. It's not spiritual, really. It's just really human. It's really, really human. So I'm going into high school now. I'm very obese. I decide this shit ain't happening anymore. Thankfully, my older brother, who's 6 years older than me, he was in the bodybuilding space. So he had a really good knowledge of training, of working out, of dieting. I went on a keto diet. Maybe you've heard of that before, the ketogenic diet. Oh, yeah. I started working out. I started playing football. So like I was really getting active with my body, and that's not like me. I never played sports. I never was in like a martial arts class. I was never really active with my body. I was really in my head. Loved video games. Like I still to this day, like I'm really into Wing Chun, which is a specific type of kung fu. If you've heard of Ip Man, you know who that is. Bruce Lee, you know what's up. So I was really into that. I'm into that now. I wasn't into that back then. But I never taken a martial arts class. I'm going to do that. But I started working out, one, because it just felt like a cycle in my life had ended. You know, some things I feel like you don't really know why you do them. It just kind of happens. And I think this was one of those moments where I was led on that path of something happening. And I started going on this diet. I started working out every single day. And this was like overnight, man. Like I just decided, but I don't feel like it was me deciding, if that makes sense. I just worked out, played football, was on this diet, crazy ass training, and it wasn't very difficult. Like I thought I would be breaking my bones, man. I thought it would be really bad, but it wasn't that difficult. And I found out I had a knack for a lot of this. I was a natural when it came to working out. Eating out wasn't difficult. Like, you know, eating and dieting wasn't difficult. So I lost like 60 pounds. I saw my jawline for the first time in my fucking life. I figured out that, damn, I actually am attractive. Okay. You know, because like I always thought I was ugly. I thought I'd be alone for the rest of my life because nobody thinks like me. I thought I'd never have love because I was ugly and nobody thought like me. You know, people picked on me. I didn't have very high status. You know, typical thoughts of a high school kid. And here I am starting to understand that there's more to me than I ever knew before. This was the great turning point in my life that when all this started happening between, like, you know, 8th grade and 10th grade, this is like boom. And I spend a lot of time talking about this because this was probably the first moment where something real shifted in my life. Something real crazy happened. And from that moment onward, I got more in touch with my physical body because I was really mental. I was really in my head. I couldn't really feel my feelings. Like if you touched me on the arm, I would feel it. But for the most part, I would float around. Like I wasn't really in a body. I would just float around and be in my head. And people can feel that off of you. They think that's crispy. Yeah, exactly. I feel like I was just like a floating little cloud. And I didn't really have substance. I didn't feel grounded. I didn't feel here. I didn't feel present. And I realized that there's way more to life by nature of my experience. Like, it's not just like you learn something from a textbook. I experientially understood that there was another part of life that I had never felt before. And then that threw me down into a rabbit hole. So I started losing weight. I'm walking more upright now. I have more confidence. I'm realizing that I look good. You know, I get a whole bolster. I feel stronger. I feel healthy. I feel lighter in my body. Things are happening. And then I'm able to turn my head inward to myself more in terms of noticing more subtler things about myself. I noticed that I'm more available to subtler cues and sensations, because I would spend so much time not really feeling myself and spending a lot of time in my head and being really caught up in my own mental loops. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people know that is like you're caught up in your own mental loops and things just happen on autopilot almost. The first time in my life, I realized that I had so much of a choice about what was going on. I could control myself and I had more options. And granted, that's way different now. Like my experience is exponentially expanded now. But for me back then, it's crazy. So what that did Number one, it freed up my body. I allowed myself to move more. That got my energy moving around, got my blood circulating, made me feel healthier. And when your body is healthy, your brain is healthy. When your body functions optimally, you can think better. And when you can think better, you can not only take better care of yourself, but your ability to do things expands. And this is where I came into what I call a spiritual awakening, where I had certain ideas that popped up, you know? And then life threw me some signals to follow these hunches. Like, you know that, you've seen The Matrix, the first one? The first Matrix? Yeah. You know where he says, follow the white rabbit, Neo? Neo yes. follows the white rabbit. My white rabbit was a couple different things, but really it was YouTube. I started finding some things on YouTube that kind of led me into this spiritual experience. And then from then on forward, I was like, it was over. Because it felt like I was coming home to myself. Like everything that I had a sneaking suspicion of was true. Even as a kid, I knew something was up with this life. Like something don't add up here. This isn't correct. Something isn't working out. But when you really get to understand that you're not the only person that thinks this way, and you have other evidence, and life starts giving you evidence that what you believe is true, it's a wrap. And that's what happened for me. One thing led to another. And I feel like I'm on the new roll. That's my new roller coaster. I went down the rabbit hole. And I've been on that same roller coaster to this day. To this day. It's the same thing. It's just an expansion of that same old roller coaster. So I'm really just on the same train that I was when I was a kid. And that's what led me here. I forgot what actually I started talking about this for, but that was when things changed for me. And then after that, it just added upon each other. I started doubling down. I started meditating. I remember now. We were talking about what I was doing before coaching. So I really just wanted to go to college, become really, really dope, get a doctorate in astrophysics or some other cool shit. And then
MIT.
Yeah, MIT, man. And then that was my thing. And I was like, okay, this is great. This makes complete sense. And my parents, they moved here when they were frankly young. My mom, when she was 12, she actually went to go to like middle school and high school here. My dad, when he was 20. So they've been fairly Americanized, but of course, they're first generation immigrants. And I was their kid. I was born here. And of course, immigrant story, like go to school, get degree, make good money. Problem solved. Everything else will fall together from there, right?
The American dream, yeah.
Exactly. And I didn't really question it because I was like, this is pretty fun. Okay, I can do this.
Yeah, when you're a kid, everything's cool. It's like, yeah, I'm studying space, you know? It's like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I got older and then I got slapped many times and I realized that life does not work like that. You could be really smart. It doesn't mean shit if you don't have other attributes that are necessary. And I was really book smart. I was very intelligent in my awareness. Thankfully, I was self-aware, but I wasn't really hip to any other part of life. I didn't understand that people live radically different lives than what I was used to. My mind started expanding like crazy. And I have all these variables. I realized that school really ain't shit. Not only do I not really care about the things I'm being told or that I'm being taught, I don't think the teachers did a very good job of teaching. I know some of them did a really great job. Some teachers are phenomenal. But for the most part, there's not a lot of good stuff going on there. The things I learned in the classroom are not helping me in my life. And I'm getting more called to do things that have to do with my own self-discovery and self-exploration. Didn't give a fuck about homework. You know what I mean? So,
that kind of stuff they don't teach you in school. That self-discovery exactly. And the... Yeah, me and my brother have talked about this, and I think the school system is kind of set up to build employees. Is just
it's something
that was created back in the industrial
factory
revolution.
Workers.
Yeah, yeah, and you only get taught exactly what you need to know to perform that job, and it's kind of like anything outside of that is irrelevant because that's not the point, right? So I feel the same way, man. School is definitely not for everybody, and. You know, especially not for people like us.
Yep. Hey, if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, go hit that shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's not for somebody like us.
Yeah.
Right? So by nature of that, you know, this is when a lot of tension started. You know, at home, my grades are dropping. Things ain't working out. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't know what's going on with my life or myself. I don't care about school anymore. everybody is like, no, his trajectory is going to be retarded now. Oh, no, he's going down the rabbit hole. My formative years, they're going down the wrong way. You know, because your parents, they can smell it. Like, you know, they know that when you're young and impressionable, things are very volatile. You know, when you can be swayed really heavily one way or another when you're young. And if you get swayed the wrong way, the rest of your life could be a disaster. Yeah. It could be. You know, but this is really good. Everything does happen for a reason. I start learning about who I am. What are humans like? You know, how to be more emotionally intelligent. How to train your focus. I started meditating. Keep working out, of course. Actually took a big hiatus from working out for a while. But anyways, my life was in this crazy consolidation space. This crazy phase of my life where I don't really know what's up or what's down. All I know is keep moving. Keep doing what you know, and then the rest will fall together. And that's, like, you know, so go all the way. I'm having these crazy discoveries, boom, 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 learning about myself emotionally. I could really go in on this, but I don't know if that's the right move to do. About to, you know, my story is really dense, and there's a lot of things that don't make sense on the outside, you know? But to answer the question about what I did before coaching, I actually didn't. Straight out of high school, I didn't go to college. I knew that for sure. That was not the move for me. And I just knew. I just knew that wasn't it. I knew that what I was doing was good. I knew that I wanted to be some type of coach because, like I said, I can't turn this off. And when I talk, people listen. So I realized that I have a voice and I have a good way of speaking. I can articulate things well. I need to be able to do this. And I have things that are going to help people because I'm helping myself. So I basically started helping other people with what I help myself with. Still, really, really young. Talking about like 18, 19 years old. And then I'm here now, still not too long away from that. You would be, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on, man. I don't really like to talk about my age because it gives people the wrong impression. But, you know, the reason why I became a coach is because I can't turn it off. So I really just did this and I stuck with it until it worked. That's basically what I'm saying. It's like I had the luxury that I never had to worry about survival. I didn't have like a rich kid life, but I never had to worry about food. I never had to worry about clothes. I never had to worry about some catastrophic thing happening in my family. Thankfully, my parents stayed together. So I always had a mom and a dad that were competent people. I could rely on them, you know, and they were emotionally intelligent enough to know. I got really, really lucky, man. And I didn't know how lucky I was until I grew up and I saw how some people lived, how some of my friends lived.
Yeah, like I said, you can't really connect the dots until it's already done, you know, like looking back.
And it scared the life out of me that the things that I thought were basic necessities for life are not present in many people's lives. That means physically and emotionally.
Yeah,
it's not there. Like, oh my God, I don't even want to start talking about that.
Yeah.
And I've just been on a continuum, man. I don't really know what to tell you. Ever since I had this quote-unquote spiritual awakening, I have been walking in this path that's been laid out for me. And I don't really know where the path goes. But all I know is that I'm on it.
You don't have to. Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest growth happens when you let yourself let go and you don't have to. The biggest growth happens when you know that you don't have to know what the next step is until it shows up. So everything that I've done has been to set myself up for success further. That means being able to become the sharpest weapon that I can be or the most effective tool. So I'm a kind of person who's like a saw. You use a saw to chop down a tree, but you don't use a saw to screw in a screw. You use a screwdriver. And if you use a screwdriver to chop down a tree, it will work, but it'll take you a lot longer and you might hurt yourself.
A lot longer.
Yeah, and you might hurt yourself and break the screwdriver, right? So use the right tool for the right reason. And a big thing about my coaching is purpose, figuring out who you are, where you stand, and then where you can go. If you are a screwdriver and you try to do the work of a saw, then you are not going to be able to do very good things in life. And a lot of people are running into a lot of resistance, pain, stress, and frustration in their entire life because they mistake themselves for a saw when they're a screwdriver. It's not that they're any less important, it's just that you're not supposed to be doing the job that you're not supposed to be doing. You're built to be a screwdriver. I love this analogy.
Do, yeah.
I love this analogy about a hammer. I got to give it to myself. This is one of my greatest things that I ever came up with. I'm pretty sure somebody's come up with something similar, but your purpose, if something's really your purpose, that means you're built for that, right? But that also means that you've always and already been doing it. You don't find your purpose. You notice it. Like a hammer is built to hit things. It doesn't matter if it's hitting nails or hitting a chisel or, you know, breaking in somebody's head or, you know, used as a blunt object. It doesn't matter. It's meant to hit things, right?
I like that.
But you don't, you know, you can hit different things. You can hit different things with a hammer. You have different avenues for the work of the hammer, but the hammer's purpose is to hit things. So that's how I relate purpose to people. You could be a hammer, and it doesn't mean that you can't do certain things. You can actually do a lot of things. You can be passionate about many things. You can be good at a lot of things. Like you and me, we're very good at different things, but our purpose is what we were built for. And a hammer was built to be a hammer, therefore it's a hammer. So you are already doing your purpose because you have no option. You were built to do it. And that's what makes people tripped up. It's like, okay, well, why don't I know my purpose yet? Because if you look at your purpose in terms of an activity, like what you do for work or what you do for fun, what you do, period, like a hammer can hit nails. Exactly. Yeah. And then you miss the point. You are not the activity. You are a specific perspective on life. You and your perspective, your unique outlook, is what makes you unique and what makes you purposeful. That is your purpose. How do you see the world that nobody else does? How do you approach life like nobody else does? What makes you different? Which is diametrically opposed to what I tried to do when I was a kid. Fit in, be a yeah. chameleon. Talk to everybody how they want to be talked to. Nah, I am different for a reason. Because I'm here to be this. That's my purpose, is to do me. Otherwise, I'll be a nail in the nail box instead of the hammer hitting the nails. You know what I'm saying? I yeah. want to be who I am, and I've always been me. I am just, the purpose of my coaching and the purpose of me being alive is simply to be myself and to help other people be themselves. Your purpose is already in you. You do it without knowing it. How do you think? What do you see that other people don't see? How do you move through life? That's your purpose. And you can do many things with that. You can do many avenues of expression, just like you can hit nails or hit a chisel or hit a car window. You can hit anything, but the fact is you hit. That's what you're built for. You are meant to approach life in a certain way. And that is your purpose. That blew my socks off when I realized it, is that my purpose is an orientation towards life. It's a perspective. It's not an activity. I could do so many things, but how I do it, that's my purpose. How I do things is your purpose.
Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. Canva Pro is an online graphic design app that makes content creation easy for everyone. And it helps out the show. To start your 30-day free trial, head over to canva.blueboxdigital.com.
So I'm curious what that stimulates inside of you, because that's probably the most important question I've ever asked myself. It's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, man, my true purpose is storytelling. And
damn,
that's why I do what I do, man. It's because that's what I feel passionate about. You know, it's kind of like for a very long time, even when I started this video thing, like I can put a video together in such a way that it will pull on your heartstrings. It will, you know, it will incite such emotion that will help you empathize with what I'm talking about, you know, and that's powerful. That's powerful as a storyteller. And I'm sure that's how you get across to all your clients, is it's storytelling. You know, you break it down, you make it relatable. You make it, sometimes you pull from your own experiences. You know, you're telling a story. Hey, look, this is what I've been through. And this is why I think this, and you know, the storytelling is so powerful. And that's what I'm put here to do, man.
That's wonderful, man. And the fact that you said it with such a quickness, that's impressive. That's impressive. I don't know what you were going to say. I want to ask you how you figured that out, but it definitely it wasn't just one moment, you know? It wasn't just one time that happened.
No, for sure.
storytelling, I always got caught up in storytelling because, number one, I don't think I tell really good stories. I honestly don't think that I tell good stories. I know that it's a skill that I can learn, though, so I want to get better at it. But I thought storytelling was just about my own personal experience. And for the longest time, I had this block that nobody's going to get me. Nobody's going to understand what I come from or where I am going. And I'm sure everybody feels like that at some point or another. But for me, this is some deep shit. So the fact that you just said what you said, it opened up something. Storytelling isn't just about telling your story. Storytelling is a way of approaching life. It's a way of approaching the universe and about the information that you see.
Yeah, it's a way to get other people to see a certain point of view. Like I've talked about this when a white Caucasian person watches a movie about slaves and you know that kind of stuff, you know, it opens up something that maybe they didn't have growing up, you know, that experience. They haven't had an experience that an African American would have. So it's like with movies and with storytelling, it's like you get to share your point of view. Like, look, this is why this culture is the way that it is, and this is what we've gone through, and that kind of thing. So for me, storytelling is so important, man. Just culturally, emotionally, developmentally, it's something that's, I think, is engraved in our DNA, man. It's just something that we've kind of evolved with storytelling. Even back from the cave paintings, that was a story. You know, they were trying to tell a story to future people that, look, you know, there's dangers out there. That kind of stuff is the essence of what I feel like I'm doing in modern day.
That's absolutely crazy. It's literally ingrained into us. The only way information was passed down was through stories.
Storytelling.
And from word of mouth, from generation to generation, the story is what kept cultures and civilizations are literally built on stories. Civilizations and tribes and cultures and people, groups of people,
history
is built on stories.
Like a sequence of stories. Yeah.
That's it. No, it makes complete sense because, like, why do you like the people that you like? Why do you like the tribe that you have? Why do you identify with certain brands? It's because they are telling a story which is illuminating an idea. And that idea is what hits you to your core. It's something fundamental. And for if sure. you can impart that, holy fuck.
Yeah, man.
That's deepest shit I've heard in a long time.
I've even gone a step further, man, because
there's
some books out there that it is about it, it. There's one specifically, it's called Story Brand, and it's literally breaking down the importance of storytelling as a company, because when you're trying to sell a product, when you're trying to, you know, convey to someone the importance of this product that you have, you have to tell the story, right? So they don't care about the name of your company. They don't care about how long you've been in business. As long as you can convey that in a way that they can understand and make them the hero of your story. Like, look, if you come and make a video with me, you know, that kind of thing, you know, you make them the hero of the story and they can relate. It pulls them in because of that ingrained thing that we have for storytelling. And it's so powerful, man. It's so powerful.
Yeah, you and me need to have a conversation at a later time about that, because I need to soak that in big time. And I think that's a missing element. I've been thinking about my branding and my marketing lately, and about how I'm not consistently pulling in the people that I want to, for people that I resonate with, my perfect ideal clients, right? And that's huge, because I give out great information, as you can see.
You do.
But I don't tell stories, though. I don't have something that people can I don't have a train that people can board and ride with me. I don't have a roller coaster that they can jump on. Dang, that's huge. And that's what I need too, because I'm not a person. I'm not a coach. I'm not even Neeraj, man. That's just what my parents named
me.
You're just
a vessel. Yeah.
I am an idea. I'm a vessel for an idea that people could be more than what they think. I'm a vessel for the idea that perfection lies on the other side of your fears, not on the other side of your achievement. And if you could just look at yourself, if you could really just take one moment to truly look at yourself without any biases, any thoughts, any forms, any lenses of perception, just pure and raw look at yourself, you would see God.
I like that because I've heard Jim Carrey is one of my favorite motivational speakers, and he actually has a video where he says that his entire life he's been playing characters, including Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
It is a character that he created to please people. You know, it was almost like a defense mechanism. This comedy that he had done is just a way to kind of shift attention from who he really was. And I love watching some of this. People think he's crazy, but I think he's brilliant. He got to the point in his life where he shed that, you know, he shed that identity of Jim Carrey. He's like, I'm not Jim Carrey. I'm the universe. Like, I'm a vessel that is put. I love your facial expressions.
I am in my spirit zone vessel right now.
Yeah, he's just a vessel for this information and just the self-discovery and just being part of something bigger than your individual character that you've created or you've cultivated over your entire life to be. You know, it's like that's not who you are. That's just who you were told you were from birth. Even names are just like a capsule that kind of puts you in, because you have to admit names have a huge part in how people treat you, especially in school. And if you have a funny name, they're going to make fun of you. If you have
I'm the guy that nobody's got the name right, like ever, first time. Like, it was like Niraj, Niraj.
Yeah.
Nirj.
Yeah, and Nirahe. That has an effect. Yeah, and that has an effect on how people see you, how people treat you, how people interact with you.
And how you see yourself based on how they
exactly
treat you.
Exactly. So the way that you present yourself to the world, even if it's a construct that was given to you at birth, it still has an effect on who you are and how you develop.
Yeah, it literally is. It's like the riverbanks that shape your river, man. It controls the direction of your flow, how wide and expansive you could be, you know?
But you as that vessel, though, you need to, once you become self-aware, that's I think that's when your life really begins, man. Is because now you're living for you. Now you're not living for this character, this persona.
So tell me this, bro. I know you, I don't know how many kids you have, but I know you have at least one.
I have two.
Okay. How old are they?
They're teenagers. My daughter's 16. My son's 14.
Wow. Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
It's been a journey, man. It's been a journey. I know you and I can go for hours here.
Oof. All I know... And this is one of the biggest things. My parents are good parents. They mean well. They actually have good intentions. I know a lot of people who don't have really the best intentions for their kids. Like, it's like they treat their kids not as their kids, but as other people, like other individuals. Not like I am your mother and I am your father. Like, we are together. We're a unit. Like, no. You're just a person that's living in my house.
You are your own person. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have their own wants, their own needs, their own, you know, like they have their own vessel, if you will.
Yeah.
That you're just kind of shaping to kind of fit into the society that we're kind of just kind of thrust into. But, you know, I always plant my seeds of self-discovery when I'm talking to my kids. So, you know.
Wow. I applaud you there, bro, because I know for a fact, I hear this textbook, like I hear it from other people, especially around psychology and stuff, but I really remember back in my days, kids don't listen to the words you say, because words are just constructs, right? And you don't learn how to speak until you're at least a year or two or three old, right? You don't compute words. The only thing that the human being understands is pattern recognition, is emulation. Kids don't listen to you. They don't do what you tell them to do. They do what they see you doing. So that's what shifted, like, blew my head off. And same thing if you want to be a leader of a group or a company. Your employees will only do as well as you are doing. They'll never ever do what you tell them to do forever. But they will always mirror you. They'll emulate you. So if you set the standard, they'll follow. And that's one of the biggest things. I'm not going to have kids for a few years, but when I do, I know that I want to set a space for them to really soul search for themselves really early on. I don't want to dump a lot of rhetoric and a lot of teachings on them. I want them to experience life within safe boundaries, of course. Really though, I just know that if I model the behavior that I aspire to see in them, that they will follow. That's will do as I do.
Absolutely.
And I'm curious about how you relate to that. Like, you're in deep, man. You've been a father for at least 16 years. It's like you can never read a book about doing push-ups and never do a push-up. You won't understand. I can talk all I want, but I'll never know what it's like to be a dad until I am. So I'm always blown away by people, men especially, who are able to be great fathers and really also be comfortable in themselves, be good dads because they know and they're secure in themselves. They can handle their work, they can handle their marriage or their partnership, and they can handle their kids, and they do everything with this type of grace and finesse that I don't understand. Like, I know shit gets hard. It gets so hard, unbelievable. Like, I can't even compute how difficult it is. There's some thoughts that I will never think until I'm a dad. There's some thoughts that I will never even conceive of until I'm there. And that's how the future works.
Another world that's going to open up, yeah.
It's a little another dimension.
That's another branch in your tree.
Yeah. So I'm like, what is going on? All I know is that, you know, I am just consistently getting my socks blown off by life. So what ultimately I want to do is I want to set up a space for my children and also for my clients and later on my students, because one of the things that I'm going to do is create a chain of schools that are eventually going to replace the public school system. And I'm going to do that not just by myself, with a lot of my partners and other people who think like me, or at least they have the same vision. Not really think like me, but they have the same vision. And I want to be able to create a system for children to grow up and know what's important and know how to use themselves, how to get acquainted with what they are. Because I firmly believe that we're not just meat sacks. You know, we are people. But what is that? Like, I'm not a name. I'm not Neeraj. I'm not what I do. What am I? And without getting too meta here, like, I am a spirit, not a ghost. That's just a fancy word. I'm a consciousness. Yeah. I'm literally an empty space that is conscious and aware. If you meditate, you will understand what this is. If you've ever had, like, a peak experience, or if you've ever had you've ever been in the zone or been in the flow, you realize that you're not just this body. You're not. This body is a part of you, but it's the outermost part of you. It's not the most you. It's just a shell of you. So
it's just how you interact with your reality.
Yeah, this physical world. That's it.
Yeah.
And there's many worlds coinciding at the same time, but the only one you can see with your eyes is the physical one. So once you start understanding that there's literally more worlds that coexist in this same time and space right now, your life will get a lot more rich. And for me, personal growth is not about getting things and achievements in the outside world. That's actually really cool, and I will have those, and I'll have more, and I already have them now. But real growth is about what goes on within you. Within you is where it's at. So I want to be able to hold a space for my clients and for my children to be able to experience everything that life has to offer. And sometimes, well, actually, this is the cool thing. Tell me what you think about this. I think that parents should set up certain experiences for their children to walk through so that they can firsthand get a glimpse of what this part of themselves is like. Because kids aren't a blank slate, believe it or not. They're not. They're not blank slates. They have their own character already. They have their own, you know, incoming
their own personality, their own,
But I want them to be able to flex muscles that they don't know that they have yet. And I feel like the earlier you can get kids to flex those muscles, then you're literally exponentially increasing their amount of development. The only reason I can do what I do now and talk like this, being as young as I am, is simply because I had very very good parents, number one. I didn't have to struggle for survival. It allowed my mind to go other places instead of, hey, I need to worry about what's happening tomorrow. Okay, I can put that off. I think, be in my imagination.
Honestly, it's funny you say that because I think that the mind has certain states because of the way that we've evolved. Yeah. I think you could either be in a stress capsule, if you will, and constantly worrying about where your next meal is going to come from, when you're going to pay the rent and all this stuff. Yeah. Or if you just get that stuff out of the way, man, so you can free your mind to think about what's actually important in life, not paying your electric bill. So when you remove all those stresses and that's why I said, like, money doesn't buy happiness, but it definitely helps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, check this out. Oh, my God. Shout out to Alex Ramosi. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a very smart guy. He's an expert in sales and building businesses. He had this book that I just recently read. One of the quotes in that book, it wasn't his, but it was one of the quotes in there. It says, if you believe that money cannot buy happiness, then you've never given enough away.
Wow.
So money makes happiness a lot easier. And it also buys happiness when you give it away for good causes. It helps build things. It's a currency that builds things. And that's another thing too. Money is just a currency. It's just like a contract of agreement.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm going to do things for you.
Another construct.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So a big thing for me was trying to stay grounded amongst all these constructs, because these constructs are real. And the societies we live in, the world we live in, operates on these constructs. Like, if you don't have money, you're not going to have a good time. Like, you are not going to have a good time here.
Yeah.
You might find a way to get by. You know, this is why people in the ancient times, or even to this day, they retreated to monasteries. They went to be an ascetic in the mountains. They took themselves away from society so they could focus on, you know, life. What is this? Yeah. Who am I? But number one, respectfully, fuck that. Like, I don't think we have to do that. You know, I think that we're meant to experience this life for everything that it is, not just go be a recluse and then go figure out your insights that way. There's plenty of people that did it. Nothing wrong with that. But in the Hindu yogas, in the scriptures, and by the way, Hinduism is like one of the oldest religions. It's not really a religion. It's more like a science-based way of life. Like all the things that we have questions about in life, like the life fundamental questions, they got answers. They already got answers. Like plenty of religions like already got this shit figured out. Yeah. And it's crazy because like Buddhism's basically like an extension of Hinduism, essentially. Like, you know, they come from the same place. Buddha was an Indian guy. And then he went and meditated and he was a recluse for many years and he attained enlightenment and they started teaching it, doling it out. Like, doop, doop, here, take this. Here. You take an enlightenment.
Commercialized it, yeah.
Exactly. He made it simple for the common folk. Yes. And that's why it's so huge. But Hinduism is very structured. It's very scientific. It's based on, you know, I almost said peer-reviewed science, which is hilarious. But it's based on real evidence. And everything in there, there's systems for everything. That's why I call myself the Great Connector too, is because I'm not Hindu, like really. Like, I don't really belong to anything. But I will draw upon structured knowledge. Every question that humans have is not new. Nothing new under the sun. So if we can really find a way to systematize what is important in life, then we can solve a lot of problems really fast. Because everybody has the same set of problems that are dressed in different clothes. If you just figure out how to solve those problems, it doesn't matter what it looks like, then you will find out real quick how fast you can develop. I think everybody, including myself, has been under this wave of thinking that you don't really have a lot of options. Like, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. So you don't even know you have options. And really, I feel like everybody's convinced that growth is super hard. Everybody's convinced that being spiritual is really hard, or being emotionally intelligent is really hard. Making money is really hard. Literally nothing is hard. You just don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. And I feel like the way we really change the world, and that's essentially what I'm going for and where I want to go, how we change the world for good. You don't change human nature. I get it. I've heard that plenty of times. But human nature has more than what we are dealing with right now, more than we're aware of. If you want to change the world, you have to create systems for, number one, children, because they are the future, systems for children, and then also simple systems for the simple person, the layperson, to understand themselves. Once somebody tastes something that they've never tasted before, it'll be with them forever. You can't unsee something you've seen. It doesn't work that way. Once you get somebody to taste their real nature, their truth, their real self just one time, once you get them to taste that just once, they will never, ever be able to forget it. And they will be addicted, because that's what happened to me. When I was that young, that story about when I was in high school, I had many moments. Some of them were meditating. Some of them involved some external substances. And, you know, I saw what I was. I saw my truth. I saw my core. When I said, look at yourself without any inhibitions or any biases, I had that moment. And I literally knew immediately that that was more real than anything that I've ever experienced ever before, ever. And nothing will ever be more real than that. So that immediately became my North Star. Like, people wonder, why are meth addicts or heroin addicts, all they care about is their drugs. All they care about is their drugs. They don't care about food. They don't care about health, cleanliness. They don't care about disease. They don't care about anything except for getting your next hit. Because it's more powerful than anything they've ever experienced in their entire life before. It makes them feel like that's more real than the world we live in here.
Than the actual reality, yeah.
And that's the same thing that I've experienced. I am a drug addict for spiritual truth. I am a drug addict for the real reality. And once you taste it, once you really just get a glimpse of it, just for one moment. Like, for example, Sadhguru, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but Sadhguru is a really prominent Indian mystic. He's, search him up on YouTube, like millions and millions of followers. Instagram, millions of followers. He said that once you taste this now moment, this present moment, just once, you will never be able to fall out of it. And that's basically what happens to everybody who goes on this journey. You just taste the real, and I say taste because taste just feels like the right word. You get to experience this reality in its truth, this present moment, this right now, right now, right now, right? I mean right now, like right now, to whoever's listening to this right now, if you experience this just moment right now, fully, just once, you will never, ever fall out of it. And you will be forever addicted to knowing what this is and to centering your life around this, and it will lead you to nowhere but good, because it's the truth. And the truth might hurt, but it will set you free, and in the long run, it will make you incredibly happy, more than you could ever imagine. So my whole life is literally dedicated to that. It's just being the truth and being a vessel for the truth. And this is like all I do.
The truth, I love
this, this is all I do all day, every day. This is it. I might do different things, man. Yep, and I'm glad I did. Because I just couldn't be alive without it.
Yeah, once you have that sort of awakening, man, you see all these constructs almost like a set of rule book. It's almost like a game. Like you've been thrown into this game, and there's all these different rules. And now that you're seeing it from an outsider's, at least that's how I see it. Now that you're kind of awakened and you see them as what they are, just constructs, that just fictional constructs that we've kind of all unanimously kind of agreed upon that this is how we're going to live society. It almost becomes a game, dude. It's kind of like, okay, let's play this game as hard as we possibly can.
Yeah. No, that's literally what it is, man. That's literally what it is. We are just here playing a collective game that we all agreed to play.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it. It's all fictional. Like even money, we give value to the money. Like objectively, it's just a piece of paper with some ink on it, right? Mm-hmm. But we collectively say that this is $1, so then it becomes a dollar, right? So you do that enough times, and you get what we have now.
And now it's been going on for so long that people don't know what it's like to go without it.
Agreed.
So people, agreed. Like, you don't even know so that there's something
like
else.
It's kind of like the opposite. Now you have to be awakened to the real reality instead of the this fictional yep. reality.
You got lost in the game, fool. You got lost in the game. Oh, my God. Hey, man. You know how these VR headsets are coming out really fast, right? Virtual reality? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
According to the latest developmental science and, like, you know, these cutting-edge software, in a very short time, the virtual reality will be indistinguishable from the real reality. So who's to say that this is the first time that it happened? What if we're already in the virtual reality and we can't fucking tell?
Yeah.
Like, oh. Yeah. Oh, you think you're really in this shit, huh?
That's so no. True, yeah.
Let me take off your goggles real quick. Let me take off
let
your
me show VR you
where headset.
You really are.
Yeah. Exactly. And then people get scared shitless like, "Holy fuck, I don't know anything about what's going on here. Let me go back into my little world."
Yeah.
Let me go back into my reality.
Yeah, I think that's powerful, man, because I think in the very near future, people are going to pick the reality that they want to live in. And it might sound a little weird.
Talk to me. Talk to me. I'm about it.
Like you said, when it becomes indistinguishable from the real reality, it's a point that it touches on. Have you ever seen the movie Inception?
I have. The dream within dreams.
Oh my God, I love that movie. But it's kind of like what we're talking about, right? Like when he goes into this facility where people go to specifically go into a dream state, right? So they're literally just lying on this bed.
Yeah.
And their physical body is decaying because they're not using it, but they're living out an entire lifetime, maybe sometimes even multiple lifetimes on a different reality. And then like the guy says, like they're just losing touch with reality. And yeah. the man responds with, "This is the reality that they've chosen. And who are you to say otherwise?" Right? Like we've gotten to the point where we can choose the reality that we live in, even if in this reality, our body decays, but we're living a happier life. Yeah. I don't know. It's just it kind of triggered that thought when you said that the whole metaverse thing and when it becomes indistinguishable from reality, because I think that's coming, man. I think that's something that people, the choice that people are going to have to face one day.
So
very, very soon.
What if I told you that that's exactly how life works, but you don't need a set of VR goggles to go there?
It's the easy way. If you want to make this reality different. Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot of hard work, man. It takes a lot of work to change this reality for yourself.
Now, I'm with you because I feel that way a lot of times too. But I'm training myself to remember that that's just a belief that I've ingrained. It don't work like that. All the things that were hard at first that you know how to do now completely easily are literally so easy. You don't even think about it. You remember when you had to learn how to brush your teeth?
Yeah.
You remember when you had to learn how to ride a bike, or you had to learn how to drive, or you had to learn how to walk? You don't got to think about those things now. Everything's just like that. It's a very small learning curve, and now it's a part of your tool belt forever. So that's how I like to think. Changing your reality is probably the biggest leverage activity or skill that you could ever learn. Because if you do that, then you can do anything, right? And yeah. I think that's what's most important. If anybody takes away anything from this, like the biggest lever that you could ever pull in your life is to do that. If you can understand how to create your own reality, you're winning at everything. So that's essentially, that's all I want to teach, bro. And that's the thing. If you have the right teacher and you have the right curriculum for anything, you can learn it like a breeze so easily, right? Why should creating your reality be any different? If you have the right teacher who really knows how to do things from different ways, different avenues of achieving the same goal, which is creating your reality from different ways for different people, that would be the most valuable thing in this world. And that's what I strive to be. It feels like there's nothing more important. Like, I'm not saying nothing matters, because it does. And everybody has something unique to bring. But man, I can't think of anything that's more important than knowing how to create your life the way you want it. Create yourself.
Reality.
Yeah. So, man, I want you to know that literally everything is possible. And we've all heard this. We've all heard this. It's in our head, but we know it intellectually. We don't know it experientially, or at least not to the degree that we could. And that's what it is. Like, imagine if you, when you were a kid, you were able to walk your children through an experience that allowed them to firsthand see an experience that they could create themselves the way they wanted. They could create their reality the way they wanted without anybody's help.
That's powerful, that, man.
It would be priceless. It would be priceless. And it makes sense. That's why society is set up this way. That's why schools are set up this way, to do the exact opposite, because you cannot take control of a free man or a free mind.
Oh, I love that. That just gave me chills.
Yeah. Yeah, this is some spiritual warfare, my dude.
You can't take control of a free mind. I love it.
Heesh. This has been a great conversation.
This is great.
I've gotten so many epiphanies for myself.
Yeah, I don't even want to end it, but we've been going for an hour and a half. So I think for the sake of brevity, we should, and we'll just do a part two, man, for sure. We gotta stay in touch and just jump back on here another day.
Yeah, I will be talking to you literally tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Thank you for holding this space for us, bro. And I appreciate you giving me the room to go off and go do the things. Because this is my life, and something that you said is always going to stick with me. Everything is storytelling. And I want to live my life like a story, as a vessel for this idea.
So thank you. You're the director of your own movie, man. Yeah. Make it a good one. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and on that we're going to end, man. So where can people find you, man, online? Where are you on social media? And do you have a website also?
I do have a website. So you can find me on social media, on Instagram and Twitter. It is at the_great_connector_, because the great connector was taken. So nice. I had to put the underscores there. And on Twitter, it's Pardesi Neeraj. So last name, first name, at Pardesi Neeraj. But you can also search up The Great Connector just by itself. You'll find me on Twitter. My website is also thegreatconnector.onuniverse.com. So hopefully there'll be links here. If that's possible, I can just shoot you links. And we can do all that, make it easier for everybody listening. And that's what it is. And you'll be seeing a lot more of me. People will know the name.
For sure. Yeah, and you'll be back on here for sure. Yeah, this is a great conversation, man. I really appreciate you coming on and kind of sharing your experiences and for kind of getting me to open up about mine. You know, I think it's the first time that I've ever revealed this much about me on my own podcast, which I appreciate. You know, it kind of tends to be all one-sided sometimes, but yeah, no, I appreciate you kind of poking and prodding a little bit.
Thank you so much, man.
Absolutely.
People need to know the story of the storyteller. They do.
Amen. All right, brother. So that's going to do it for us. For us, it's actually Blue Box Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok. We're going to post all the videos of the podcast on YouTube as well. So if you want to follow along there, it's youtube.blueboxdigital.com. If you want to be on the podcast, if you have a good story to tell and you want to come on here and tell it with us, reach out, you know, DM me on any of the social medias or info@blueboxdigital.com is the email. Just reach out, say, hey, this is what I do. This is my story. And I just want to chop it up with you and we'll make it happen. And that being said, man, Neeraj, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you so much. This has been one of my favorite episodes to shoot.
Wow.
I can't wait to put it out.
Thank you.
Likewise. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much for watching.